from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, rental clothing has taken off with the success of businesses like Rent the Runway that offer everything from designer gowns to ski jackets. So it didn't take long for two San Francisco entrepreneurs to realize there was a likely market for renting attire for Indian American weddings. We talk with the founders of Rhea Collective. Then, the co-creators of the Bechdel Test podcast, which looks at films through a feminist lens, will give us their takes on your favorite films and the latest Oscar nominations. Comedians Caitlin Durante and Jamie Loftus will be at San Francisco Sketchfest next week, but they're with us today, so stay tuned after this news. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. After repeatedly having to dig through the closets of family and friends looking for the right attire to wear to Indian American weddings, Aryan Agrawal and Serena Siddhanti decided it was time to create an online rental company for saris, gowns, and menswear worn during the elaborate multi-day festivities. The co-founders of San Francisco-based Rhea Collective now have a Soma neighborhood showroom and ship beautiful high-end designs nationwide. As part of Forum's first-person series profiling local innovators who make the Bay Area unique, we talk with Agrawal and Siddhanti about the rental clothing boom and how Rhea Collective educates first-time guests of Indian American weddings. Welcome to the program, Aryan Agrawal.
Thank you so much. And that was a wonderful intro.
Oh, thanks. And welcome, Serena Siddhanti.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So you officially launched your business in April. Congratulations.
Thanks. It feels like longer ago. I mean, we've been thinking about this idea for years. It's a pain point that both of us have felt since we were like teenagers, basically. So it feels like this needed to exist and we were ready to jump in.
You were in the tech industry before this, am I right? Both of you, right?
Yes, we were previously in fintech for Serena and in AI and even operations business for me.
But you decided, I mean, first you were kind of doing this on the side a little bit, trying to help people find the right clothes, renting things out, and now it's your full-time, you're fully committed to this.
That's totally right. Like in the beginning, we took our own friends, you know, like I think a lot of businesses start. We took our own things and our own friends' things and said, hey, let's see if anyone would want to rent this stuff and just put it up on a website. And we were amazed with the number of people who told their friends about it and then told their cousin in Minneapolis about it and whatnot. And at some point we said, like, this is a national scale business and we want to turn it into that.
Well, Serena, I think it's interesting that you said it has been a pain point in our lives. So talk about why it was so arduous or painful to try to get the clothes that you wanted.
Yeah. So I got married in 2015, and the standard protocol for a bride having an Indian wedding is to fly to India for 8 days or 2 weeks and to find an aunt who can take you around to a bunch of stores and buy really bulky outfits that you then need to do kind of customs to get into the U.S. So it's a big deal. And it took so much time and so much money to buy this stuff that I later realized, well, I'm only going to wear it once. And meanwhile, what was even more astounding, you know, I'm the bride, so you kind of expect something like that. But for the guests of my wedding, like Aryan, it was really, really tough. Maybe you want to talk about that.
Yeah. For me and all the other bridesmaids, we were driving around the country to, like, essentially auntie's basements in Fremont, California, in Edison, New Jersey, and trying to find beautiful clothes that were representative of us and what we wanted to wear for her wedding. And they were so expensive, and finding these stores was so painful. You would go on Yelp, and it ended up being someone's basement. And so we realized that getting these beautiful styles was just impossible. And even, like, all of our other friends from college showed up, and they were stuck with these clothes that they couldn't wear again and spent so much money and so much time getting. And so we realized that, you know, if you can rent a tux or if you can rent a gown for Western clothes, why can't you rent Indian clothes?
Yeah, it also speaks to what people attribute the success of places like Rent the Runway to, is this, you know, the goal of being practical but also sustainably minded, right? If you're going to only wear something once, why would you spend so much money and add to the demand in a market where, you know, you really do only need to wear these things once? I think the other thing that I'm struck by what you're saying, Aryan, is close that feel reflective of you, because I think this is a common misconception that if you're wearing traditional dress or if you're wearing ethnic dress, that it sort of always looks one way and that, you know, it lasts through the generations. But, you know, in reality, like, I could tell you what a dated hanbok is, right? I'm sure you could tell me what a dated sari or gown or something lenga is, so that you want to find something that feels fresh and modern.
Absolutely. I think it's a lot about representing who we are in our culture in a modern way here in the U.S. and saying, like, look, just because we live here, we are both cultures. We're both Indian and American. We want to be able to live both to the maximum. And we know there are these beautiful styles and fashions in India that we see on Instagram. And we say to ourselves, like, how do I wear that? Because it's really gorgeous and there's no way to access that clothing. And we wanted to bring that here.
We're talking with San Francisco-based founders of Rhea Collective, who rent beautiful and hard-to-find in the U.S. saris and gowns for Daisy American weddings. They officially launched their business last April. And what are your questions for your guests? Have you found it challenging to find clothing for a culturally specific event? Or have you adapted cultural wedding traditions to the Bay Area or to the modern age? I'm interested also, Serena and Ariana, about, you know, how people honor their bicultural identities in Indian weddings as well. Anyway, give us a call, listeners, if you want to share your experiences, 866-733-6786. You can post your questions to our guests on Facebook, Twitter, or email them to forum@kqed.org. I feel like we should just step back and just remind people, you know, what generally is involved in an Indian American wedding. And I say that carefully because, you know, ceremonies can vary quite a bit based on religion and ancestry, but is there kind of a general timeline of events that you could talk about?
Yes.
Serena Stanti.
The standard Indian wedding in the U.S. has three events, which often surprises people off the bat because that is a large number compared to, you know, Western weddings. So you generally have on Friday night, and this is speaking specifically to Indian and North Indian weddings. And again, there are different parts of the country who do different things. But North Indian weddings will have a Sangeet on Friday night, which is the colorful, elaborate event where almost everyone who attends will do an organized dance of some kind. And I've heard a lot of my Western friends who attend these saying, like, I love this. It's sort of like a talent show. I'd love to do something like this at my wedding. So I know that's something people enjoy, and they want comfortable, colorful outfits for that night. And then the next day, you'll have the ceremony and then the reception. And oftentimes, you'll need two different outfits for those, because sometimes the ceremony is actually in the morning, followed by the reception in the evening. The interesting thing about the ceremony is you have what's called the Bharat before the ceremony, which is a parade, essentially, where the entire groom side, traditionally, anyone who's on the groom side of the wedding will kind of parade into the wedding. Sometimes the groom rides in on a horse or a car, and you're playing loud music and dancing into the wedding. And that tradition comes from way back when in India, when actually the groom and his family would be traveling through India to the bride's village for the wedding. And so we still do that today. And yeah, and so you again want every single outfit you wear should be danceable, because that's just the nature of Indian weddings, but and a lot of color as well.
And again, Serena Siddhanti is co-founder of Rhea Collective. Arian Agarwal is co-founder of Rhea Collective as well. And you, our listeners, are with us, 866-733-6786, the number to call to join the conversation. So then, Arian Agarwal, about how many Indian weddings would you say you attend every year?
It varies, but I would say I've needed about 10 to 15 outfits every year for the last 5 years while I'm in this age where all of my friends are getting married. And so that's about, you know, three to five weddings a year, and it's expensive if you're not renting.
And as I understand it, you are also about to get married?
Yes. We're doing the same outline Serena just mentioned, where it's multiple days, multiple outfits. And excited to be sharing this culture with all of our friends.
And so how have your friends asked you about what they should wear if they're non-Indian? And I'm sure that there are concerns about being perceived as engaging in cultural appropriation, donning attire that's not your racial or ethnic or cultural background. How do you talk to people about how to do this, you know, and do it respectfully?
That's a great question. And this is something we've uncovered, frankly, in working on Rhea Collective, is that, you know, part of it is we're renting these beautiful clothes that are hard to access. But what we've found from our customers is that when you get invited to an Indian wedding, you want to participate. And wearing the clothing allows you to experience something that you wouldn't have otherwise and be fully involved and fully partaking in that. And so my friends, luckily, I've been inundating them with information because of the business that we run. But it's something I've learned from working with brides and letting them, like offloading this work, frankly, that they have to do with educating their guests. We kind of take that off of their plate and we work directly with their wedding guests, explaining to them, these are the events, just like Serena just did, that you're going to be doing and participating in at this wedding. And these are the clothes that you wear per event. And we recommend that you wear something that's danceable for Friday night and for Saturday morning when you're dancing and parading in the streets. And then for the reception, it's okay to wear these colors because, you know, for the ceremony and for the Sangeet, you don't want to wear black or white. You want to wear very colorful outfits and very vibrant outfits. So we've put together all of this education for so many weddings throughout the U.S., and I get to use that for mine.
Well, how do you guard against somebody, Serena Siddhanti, wanting one of your outfits or gowns as a costume, yes, as for something other than a wedding?
We've thought about this so much, and I'm so glad you're asking it, because I think doing this business authentically is at the root of how it's going to be successful. So first of all, for the weddings themselves, when we think about appropriation, we say one of the main things that differentiates appropriation from using it appropriately is education and is knowledge of what you are wearing. If you are wearing something and you don't know that it's a sari, or you don't know the right way to wear it, and you're wearing it draped off a shoulder or something, then you are appropriating that outfit. So we want to make sure anyone wearing Rhea Collective, for starters as a baseline, knows what they're wearing, how to wear it, and when it's appropriate to wear it. Now, with our customers, we can't always control where they're going to take that outfit, though. You know, we can make sure they're educated, we can give them the content, but what if they show up in it as a Halloween costume, you know? And that's where we really try our best to use our voice in social media, on this platform, and anywhere else where we're showing up to say, you know, please do be educated, please do wear these outfits respectfully. I think, you know, I can speak only for Indian culture, but we love to share our culture and we love to see people enjoying it the right way and doing it respectfully. So I just feel like there's so much knowledge proliferating about this now, and we want to be one of the key voices speaking on this topic. And that's kind of the most that we can do when it comes to our customers.
Well, this listener writes, have you noticed more Indian American couples asking their friends to participate in their weddings with proper attire?
Yes, absolutely.
Serena.
We actually see that most brides of Indian weddings expect most of their guests to wear Indian clothing for at least one of the three events. And they'll write that on their wedding website, you know, would love for you to wear Indian clothing. And I did the same thing for my wedding in 2015, but I don't think I ever really thought, well, where are they going to get that clothing? And that's where, you know, I was surprised when I came back from India and Arian's telling me she's driving around the Bay Area finding basements. You know, I was like, oh, oops, I guess I never thought about where you'd get it. So part of our job is really educating the brides as well that, hey, if you do want these 300 guests to come in Indian clothing, you've got to provide them with an option, and we're a really easy one.
And what do you tell same-sex couples about the considerations they should make when they're also thinking, when they're also renting or coming up with attire for their ceremonies?
Yeah, I would say there's nothing different. Like the women sometimes decide that they do want to both wear langas, or maybe one wants to wear a bridal outfit and the other wants to wear a more like traditional langa. And we think, you know, that's beautiful, and we love doing it, working with them.
Yeah. And same for the guys. There's really no difference in the attire. We want to make sure that they get outfits that complement each other, but that's about it.
There's probably a difference in the cost, though, I'm guessing. Or no.
For guys and
girls.
Yeah, there is. Guys are always simpler.
Well, Arjun tweets, I'm curious if Rhea Collective is planning on offering ethnic clothing rentals beyond just Indian styles. Love the idea, !
That's
Arian Agarwal.
Yeah, that's absolutely a vision that we have for our business. Again, we uncovered this because of this pain point, but the true beauty and the magic in the business is ultimately that people get to feel like they're sharing in a culture, whether it's their own or it's their friends or someone else's. They want to feel like they're showing their support and they're participating. So our vision is that, you know, you can down the road be able to rent maybe a Nigerian outfit or another ethnicity. They're so beautiful and they're so elaborate and vibrant, and there's no platform that's giving you access to it today. And we believe we can create that.
We're talking with the San Francisco-based founders of Rhea Collective, which rent saris, gowns, menswear for Indian American weddings. And they say the demand that they're seeing from couples as well as their non-Indian guests shows there's a market for their services. The founders are Aryan Agrawal and Serena Siddhanti. And we are hearing from you, our listeners. This listener writes, do you use both Indian and Indian American designers? How do you find your designers?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do use both Indian and Indian American designers because we believe a big part of our mission is to showcase both and is to showcase beautiful things that are happening in both places. What we've seen is a lot of the Indian American designers are designing lighter weight stuff for people to take to destination weddings, for example. And for a more Western audience who's not up for the very heavy, elaborate outfits. And a lot of our customers do want that. But I would say about 80% of our items are sourced from India directly, and we are getting the most modern, like, up-and-coming designers from right now from Bombay, Mumbai, and from Delhi.
Well, one of the things that producer Caroline mentioned was that you both were surprised that brides and grooms of Indian weddings, they also wanted to rent. Why was that surprising to you? Because your business was originally designed, I guess, mainly for the guests of these weddings.
Part of it was because, like Serena mentioned, there's this rite of passage that a bride goes to India and makes this 2-week-long trip with her aunts and mom and wants to find all of the outfits that she wants and get them for her whole family. And so we figured that people wanted to continue with that tradition, and there's so much inventory in India that renting to them wouldn't be viable. But like you mentioned, people are more sustainably minded nowadays. And so this desire to not buy multiple $1,000 outfits to wear for 1 hour, for your one ceremony hour, and therefore they wanted to rent because, you know, they viewed that as, you know, a much, much better option for them. And frankly, like, today's consumer doesn't have room in their closets to be storing these clothes. These outfits, especially the bridal lehenga, can come in, you know, a 4-foot box, and it will take up that much room in your closet if you end up buying it. And so they're realizing that, you know, when they're living far away from their parents, that this makes way more sense for them.
Right. It also underscores the hardship of, if you're buying these clothes in India, transporting them back to the U.S. Noel writes, sounds like a good idea, but aren't these clothes very expensive due to the intense labor of the seamstresses sewing all these beads and other things? So, yeah, let's get down to cost generally.
Yeah.
Like, what is the range in terms of rental? But also, you know, I think what she's getting at is sort of honoring the labor that goes into it as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good point. We are bringing these outfits from India that will retail for $600 to $700 for a lehenga. And a lehenga is our core product in the sense that most guests of Indian weddings do want to buy or rent the lehenga. We are working with designers to manufacture based on kind of what we need and specific to our needs. And so we are paying a discount on that, and we are buying in bulk from these designers, and then we're renting them out for about $125 per lehenga per time, and so we make that money up within, you know, 6 or 7 rentals.
Is inventory one of the big challenges? Like, keep maintaining a—
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the big challenge of the business and the supply chain as well, like bringing hundreds of outfits from India. And that's where we say, so often we're at Rhea Collective as we are providing access, because we are really doing that labor of finding the designer in India, kind of negotiating deals with them that work for them and also work for the customer, and bringing those items over through customs and imports and everything else to really to your fingertips.
Any other challenges that surprised you as you, you know, built this and launched it?
I think,
Aryan Agrawal.
Yeah, I think that the whole rental operations is not an easy one. Obviously, you know, like the listener mentioned, they're elaborate, they're hand embroidered. And so there are not a lot of dry cleaners that are accustomed to working with these materials. So sourcing the right one and making sure that these garments can actually last is important. And it's something that we have focused on because we want to deliver that customer like the most beautiful outfit in the best state.
So then Robert writes, does Rio Collective patronize vendors who use green dry cleaning methods for their clothing rentals?
Yes, we actually do. We've been working with two different dry cleaners in San Francisco, one of which uses green dry cleaning methods. And we're actually kind of have been moving a lot of our volume there because we realize if we want to be a sustainable brand, we do need to look through our entire supply chain. Now, what we haven't reached, I will be, you know, fully transparent, that's kind of a next step for us, is to go look at the manufacturing that happens in India with the designers we use. You know, we work with the designers, but we haven't gone to that level to look at, you know, where are they actually getting the clothing made? And that's something that we have as one of our goals for 2020.
Well, we just have a couple minutes left, but I have to ask, because whenever you start something, and a startup in particular, I mean, life is totally insane. And Arian, you are trying to plan a wedding. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I think that, you know, it's wonderful. Serena and I have been best friends since our freshman year at MIT. And so there are a lot of challenges that we've worked through together. We've been able to grow a team here with our business that we trust and is enabling us and giving us the leverage to continue to expand and focus on the things that will like make this business really, really big. So it's been wonderful so far. I think like it's going to get harder over time, but so far I would say that there are some challenging days, but I'd say that our team is really built to sustain it.
So you're pulling a profit at this point?
Yes, actually, yeah. We are. We go through I think as we go through phases where when we're then investing in the business, there'll be a few months where, you know, we're not necessarily profitable because we are consciously investing in growing our inventory stock or growing our team. But at steady state, we are able to be profitable.
Well, just last question. How do you think being in, you know, the right attire, ethnic attire, the traditional attire can change the whole experience of a guest, especially a non-Indian guest?
Yeah, that's such a great note to end on because we think of what we are providing at Rio Collective as not just the dress, but the experience that you're going to have when you attend your friend's wedding. It has pieces of the experience you would have when you travel to another country because you've learned about this outfit and then you've actually put yourself in it and felt, you know, the magic of being in it. And we hear that all the time. I feel like a princess and things like that.
Yeah, even the process of getting dressed into a traditional outfit or an ethnic outfit reveals so much, doesn't it, Arian Argawal, about the culture too?
It does. It really does. Our customers have loved that they get to show up and feel so comfortable and so confident in what they're wearing.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share Rio Collective with us.
Thank you again.
Serena Sadanthi and Arian Agrawal, they're co-founders of the Rio Collective. We've got another half hour forum next. Stay with us.